Flying Coach is back for a second season. Peter Schrager and Rams head coach Sean McVay are joined by guests from around the sports and entertainment world. They're discussing the latest NFL news, telling stories from their careers, and breaking down games from their unique perspectives. Check out Flying Coach Season 2 on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you could check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck. Or, you know, I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at nissanusa.com.
And we're back. This is Logan Murdoch from the Real Ones podcast on KMEL. I'm here with Raja Bell, and we got the Mad Hooper here.
Yeah, we're here with the Mad Hooper, and I think we're going to open it up for the audience to ask some questions to the Mad Hooper. Young lady, do you have a question for the Mad Hooper?
Yeah, this is Sasha from St. Louis, and I just have a question for the Mad Hooper. Like, why are you so mad? I don't get it. Like, why are you so mad?
You know what, Sasha? And Logan and Raja, I'm just mad that people didn't see Phoenix coming. I am a Phoenix native. I grew up watching Raja Bell represent my town in the playoffs, watching, you know, San Antonio try to assault Steve Nash, and being through that series and just lived through a whole decade of nothingness until, you know, the 8-0 bubble saved my life. And if people were watching, they would have understood. Devin Booker is an unstoppable scoring force. Chris Paul had been commanding the offense all season. DeAndre Ayton is just so physically large. I mean, you're talking Mikal Bridges' smile and Cameron Johnson's, you know, hair, and they're on top, and they have been. And they were not getting the credit they were due.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now. Or how many times do I have to tell you? I'm vegan! Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today.
Poppin', Real Ones, Logan Murdoch here, live from Milwaukee, live from the 404, and I'm here with Raja, who is not live from the 404. He is somewhere in the world, not here. We are talking. What's up, Raja? First of all, what's up, Raja? How you doing, man?
I'm good. What'd it do?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. I just want to say before we get to game three, I was walking the concourse because I went to the arena in Milwaukee, which is a nice arena, by the way. It's brand new. It's pretty cool. It's nice. It's
Pfizer
right in the downtown. Pfizer Forum.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went in there. It's a nice little vibe. It's like about a 15-minute walk from the hotel. Went there, chilled out, walked on the concourse because you know, you gotta just, you know, do some stuff before the game. Went to go get some food with the homie Candace Buckner of the Washington Post. And when I'm at the concourse, two homies came through, fans of the show, and was like, yo, what's up, Logan? Real Ones.
What?
It was pretty cool. I mean, get the dude's name. The dude's name is
is Mike. Mike Lamont. Shout out Mike Lamont, bro. Real one. They came over. They're like, yo, what's up? What's up? That felt pretty cool. That felt pretty cool.
Hey, listen. That is pretty cool, right? I told you. Yeah. I it happened to me the other day at GameStop. I forget the young man's name, man. He was cool as hell. I wish I remembered it. Shout out to you for being better. But I got to the front. Willis McGahee was in front of me, right? Like, I chopped it up with Willis for a second. So a dude looked at me, and he was like, you're Roger Bell. And I'm like, like, I'm not, like, famous like that, but occasionally I will get that. So I'm used to, like, someone saying that and it being basketball-related. He was like, I'm a huge fan of the pod, man. That shit kind of felt better than people remember me for basketball.
Didn't that feel kind of cool, though? Like, when people say that? Because it's kind of surreal. Because we were just talking to each other, right? Me and you were just talking. We don't really, like, see until we go out in the open around the hoop courts and stuff and people rock with us, man. So thank you to all the real ones out there, bro. That really means a lot, man.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. We are talking to you the morning after game three, where the Bucks ended up annihilating the Suns. It was a bit closer than it seems because, you know, I'm going to be real. I don't know how else to say this, Raja. I was very disappointed in how the Bucks started the game. And I know the Bucks ended up winning. A game three when you're down 2-0, the sense of urgency that you have to come with. You have to just beat the brakes off of the team when you're at home down 0-2. I didn't see that early on with the Bucks, and I was a little disappointed. They weren't playing as hard as I thought they were supposed to play, and then they wound up being down 6 in the second quarter, and then they went on that run. We'll get to why they went on that run in a minute, but I was disappointed in the start. They ended up winning. What did you think of the game, Raja?
That's the Bucks. I've said that on this pod I don't know how many times about them coming out and it not looking like they understand the gravity of the situation they're in. You know, they come out and they've got a middle of January feel to them, you know, preseason almost, I've said at times. So it was a little surprising to me, though, backs against the wall. But I think more than anything, if I've watched the way the game, you know, unfolded, it might have had less to do with them not being ready to play and more to do with DeAndre Ayton just being locked in and the Suns realizing that they couldn't get punched in the mouth. If they stood any chance in Milwaukee, they had to hit first. And I think they did a good job of that.
I did too. But the thing with the Suns is, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's just this poise there. It just seems like even when they were down, it just seemed like they were going to make a run. They got it down to single digits in the second half. And then, you know, the wheels kind of fell off. But I just really like the way this Suns team fights. I do. And I know we're going to get to why the Bucks won. And I think, honestly, we'll talk about it in a second. I think that they have a chance to win the series. I think the Bucks still have a chance to win the series. But so far, I see your face. We're going to get to that in a second. But by and large, to start the series, it's been the Suns with all the poise and making all the plays to start. And then last night, they got punched in the mouth in the second half. Ayton gets in foul trouble. Let's talk about Ayton really quickly. Did the Bucks kind of find something here where I don't even know if it's find something. It was there in plain sight the whole time that, I don't know, you can get DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble and they have no one left in the front court. They have no one left. Like, when Ayton went out and Frank Kaminsky came in, he was passing up wide open layups to pass to 3-point shooters. That's what it is after Ayton. So that's why I think that the Bucks can win the series if they have the bigger team. They have Brooke Lopez on the floor. They have Giannis on the floor. Why don't you just attack Ayton? Why haven't they been doing this all series, Raja? What do you think about their strategy to attack Ayton? And why haven't they been doing this all series?
Logan, I think, look, game one, they did not do a good job of attacking the Suns. Now, the Dario Saric injury is going to loom really large, you know, in this series moving forward, right? They have no depth in the front court, the Suns, that is. But in the first game, I thought the Bucks came out, and maybe it was because Giannis wasn't healthy. Maybe it was because they were just, you know, had jitters being on the road first. Whatever, for any number of reasons, they weren't fully in attack mode. They weren't demanding that the refs blow the whistle. They were settling. And their free throws attempts, you know, their free throw attempts, I tweeted that night, they kind of reflected that, right? Like the Suns shot 26 free throws in the first game to 16 for the Bucks, right? And when you factor in the Suns made 25 of them and the Bucks only made 9, that's a huge discrepancy. Like, even though you shot relatively the same, like with all of that said and done and all the brilliant performances offensively by people, they shot relatively the same from the field, both teams. But I thought you saw a shift in game two. You know, Giannis obviously had the 40 ball, but when they came out, they were in attack mode. Milwaukee was getting to the cup. They were trying to punish the Suns. Now, it didn't play itself out in a win, but the Bucks shot 23 free throws and the Suns shot 14 in game two. So that suggests that they were the more aggressive, more in attack mode type of team. It just so happened that the Suns shot the skin off of the ball. They knocked down 23s. I mean, it's hard to overcome the 20-9 discrepancy in the three-point shooting. Last night was a carryover, Logan. The Bucks came out. Didn't happen early, but they got into it and they continued to assert like their physicality. It led to foul trouble for DeAndre Ayton. All right. And it led to the free throw discrepancy again. Last night you had 16, 11 for 16 for the Suns, 20 of 26 for the Bucks. They made them and they got 10 more of them. That's a recipe for success for the Bucks. And so I think you've seen it. You didn't see it in game one. You saw it in game two, but it didn't lead to a win, so it was hard to identify it. And you saw it pay dividends in game three.
Are you with me when I say that the Bucks can win this series because of that? But like, I do see that the Bucks are the bigger team. And when the Suns' anecdote to that is, we're just going to go super small. Like, Aiden's going to be off the floor. We're not going to play with a traditional center. We're just going to try to run you off the floor. That being said, you could put Giannis at center and. I mean, okay, we know how that goes. Do you think that the Bucks still have a chance at this series? I still think that they can win. Do you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I've said from the jump, I thought the Suns were going to win it, but I thought it was going to be a long series. But in a long series, I wouldn't be surprised if anyone won. So, yes, the Bucks absolutely have a chance in the series. They went home. We talked about this after game one. Milwaukee didn't handle their business. You're going there to win a game in Phoenix. You didn't get it done. Yep. But you haven't lost anything. You just have to come home and hold serve. And you saw them do that last night. You saw guys from the Bucks. Drew Holiday woke up, knocked down 5 threes, I think, last night. You saw guys from the Suns who were really playing well and riding that wave of home adrenaline not play as well on the road. I don't think that was necessarily D. Book's problem, but he didn't play great either.
He didn't play great. Mikal Bridges didn't play great. A lot of the guys that you see that are the role players that play good at home, the younger guys, did not show up in this game.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges falls into the group of, and he's great, but he falls into the group of guys that could be affected by the road atmosphere, right, for me.
Sure.
That doesn't mean he's not a good player, but it means that happens. It happens to all players in
the
NBA.
What is it about that road environment that messes young players up, though?
Look, we could get into like sleeping in your own bed, eating your normal food, having your routine. All of that is fractionally a part of it. But more than anything, it's when things go wrong at home, there's a sense of security in the building for you. The fans can lift you out of that. You know that there's real support there. It's comfortable. I you know, on the road, it's lonely. When shit don't go right, you know, You have to be built like that. Not that these guys aren't, but it's harder on the road because you have to overcome what's going on with you and everybody in the building talking shit and all the people in there booing you and all the people yelling that you airballed and that you suck and why they pay you that much money. Like, you've got to overcome a lot of things and it can be distracting. It's not like you're not good. It can just distract you from what's going on. And at home, you're just riding an energy wave with the crowd. Everything's good. It's propelling you to be better at some points when things aren't going well. And that energy doesn't exist for you on the road unless you figure out how to be the villain. And when you can get into villain mode, then you flip that energy. That energy that is negative, you flip that to positive. That's what Kobe and the greats could do.
Hello, Chris Paul. How you doing?
Yeah.
How you doing, Chris Paul? How you doing? How you doing, Devin Booker?
Yeah, you got to flip that.
How's it going? It was funny, though, because the crowd, when Booker went to the free throw line, they counted to 20. It was amazing. It was amazing. They were so petty that they started the countdown like 2 seconds before he even walked to the free throw line.
Fantastic.
So it wasn't a fair fight, but it was great. I loved it. I love pettiness.
No, I want to ask you because I didn't get to go to the game. Game experience, Milwaukee Bucks, game 3 of the finals. Logan Murdoch is there. He's been to a lot of arenas. scale of 1 to 10, and then like what you liked and what you didn't like.
I'm gonna be real, okay? I'm gonna be real. I don't know how many Milwaukee real ones we got over here.
Keep it a buck.
But, you know, I gotta keep it a buck. Your arena is fantastic. I love your arena. It's awesome. Comma, however, I'm gonna need you guys to lock in. It's the NBA Finals. You guys need to be, I need to not be able to hear myself think. And I know you guys have great acoustics at the Forum. I know you guys have this. You guys need to lock in a little bit more. Your team is in the NBA Finals. It's not a traditional team that goes in the NBA Finals. You need to meet this moment. I got to see you guys meet this moment. I didn't see the fans meet the moment. That's all I'm saying. I didn't see it.
Did it rise as they got better, or was it just flat in there the whole night, Logan? Or
It was like, you know how we talk about the Bucks being like playing sometimes with the malaise of a regular season team, yeah. Right? Like a regular season. It was like an April game. It felt like an April game. It didn't feel like I'm in the middle of, I mean, I know it's July now, but it didn't feel like I'm in the middle of the NBA Finals, and Milwaukee hasn't been to the finals in I don't know how many years, right?
Yeah, fair.
But It was fine. But my Milwaukee Ruins, I'm gonna need y'all to lock in, bro. Because listen, you guys have a generational talent. You guys don't go to the finals every year. This is guys what you guys have been wanting for years and years and years. You guys got to show it. Is all I'm saying. Anyway, but I do want to get back to Aiden right now. My question to you is: we all know Aiden's been great defensively. Has not been fouling as much as he does historically in the regular season, but. It seemed like they were targeting him during this game. I'm talking about other players.
You're talking about other players. What you talking about?
Yes. We have a direct order not to be, you know, going out this way to not be. Yes, he seemed targeted.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
How do you, as a teammate, whether you feel he's being targeted by both players, because that happens too. I mean, it's basketball. If somebody has fouls, you fucking go after that person. How do you, as a teammate, specifically a guard or maybe a three or a wing guy, how do you help that when your big is in foul trouble like that? What do you do?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I don't know if there's a great answer to that. The conversation would be no cheap ones. You know,
there were some. Like, I will say this though: there were some cheap ones though, like the one on Giannis. You didn't have to do that.
You don't need that.
You could just let him get the layup. Just let him get that.
You know how we talk about the Bucks not understanding? Maybe not understanding is not a right way to put it. But from time to time, not looking like they're locked into the moment of the finals and having to like raise their level. That same can be said about DeAndre Ayton and his understanding of the foul situation. Like, that foul's not the end of the world in April. You know, you come over, you're trained to try to block shots. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. But there are times on stages like that where you got to let him lay that up. Like that, it's 2 points, man. Like, let him lay it up. Don't even go over. And it was not a hell of a foul. Like, but Giannis is an MVP. He put a little body into you and now you got 4. And so it's probably more conversation-based, Logan, to your original question, more than it is something I can do for him on the court. Like, hey, bro, we need you to be big. We need you to be solid, but we can't have the ticky-tack ones. We can't have the you know, open floor, you're running down the back and the guard stops and now you run over him. Like, you can't have the...
Because to your point on that, like, your point on that, right, is where, like, you know, you alluded to the refs as your best friend Scott Foster was reffing tonight or last night. And we don't have to get too much into that, but like to your point about refs kind of dictating the game in that way, I think that's what you're saying. And like, the refs are going to call the fouls, but don't make it so easy on them. Right. They're going to call those fouls, but at like the fourth foul that we were both referencing, you didn't have to do that. You could have just had 3 and it would have been fine. You would have been able to play. You could have still played aggressively. Just keep your hands up, but don't just ram the dude, because he's going to flail. Like, I would have flailed too if I'm Giannis in that position. You're trying to get him out of the game. So is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. And see, refereeing, not to go here, because I had no problem with the way the refs ref the game last night. I thought Milwaukee deserved those free throws. They were in attack mode. They were in bully mode. The more aggressive team is going to get the fouls. I had no beef with the refs last night. What referees do is they just change your ability to be aggressive. Right. If you're a DeAndre Ayton, when you, to your point, when you pick up that third, or let's say you pick up 2 early ones, You can still operate out there and not pick up the third or fourth, but it changes what you can do because you don't want to put yourself in that position to pick up the ticky-tack third or fourth. So it really does hamstring what a defensive presence like DeAndre can do when you give him two early ones, because now you're always like, do I go over?
Is it frustrating more when you're a shot blocker like Aiden? Is it more frustrating when you do get those two quick fouls, because your whole mindset is aggression? Your whole mindset is that, like, I got to get to this ball, and then to leave layups on the table because you can't foul people, that has to be frustrating for a big, right?
No, it's super frustrating. It's frustrating for a big. It's frustrating for a guard trying to defend if you have a hella defensive assignment. Like, it really just, I mean, I want to find a PG way to say this, but it kind of, it chops a leg off, if you will. You just can't, do what you want to do. And it starts to shape the way the game is played, right? And so then the offense's job becomes, oh, well, shit, he can't foul. I'm in attack mode. Like, I'm running up his chest every time I get a chance. Like, he's just going to have to let me lay it up, or he's going to pick up this third foul, you know? And so it starts to shape the way the game looks. And those fouls shaped the way the game looked last night. Milwaukee realized what was happening, and they were like, oh, shit, here we go. Like, we're in attack mode. And kudos to them for realizing what was going on and taking advantage of it. But DeAndre has to figure out how to be a presence. And it's part of growing. It's part of, you know, the game-to-game in the finals, how to be a presence, how to be out there and be what he's offensively, because he's been great offensively, and not get in that foul trouble, because they just don't have, you can't run Frank Kaminsky out there. Like, Frank Kaminsky,
no, you can't run him out there. You absolutely cannot put out Frank Kaminsky. I think I alluded to this in the beginning of the pod. The man went up to go up for layups, wide open layups, and passed it off for a three-point shot. He wasn't ready. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite players in the NBA Finals. This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck, or, you know, I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at NissanUSA.com.
I want to talk about one of my favorite players in the playoffs and in the league at large, and that is Devin Booker. Devin Booker, also, side note, Devin Booker had like this very like wild shorts, full length shirt, white shirt combo. And I wear some outrageous shit, but I was like, Book, I was like, Book, where are we going with this? I mean, I see the vision, but I just didn't. I didn't know where he was going with it. I didn't know all the things. Anyway, the man shot 3 of 14 from the field. He was guarded in large part by Jrue Holiday, who is obviously one of the best defenders in the league, especially when you're at guarding point guards and off guards. What do you think about him guarding Devin Booker, and what did you see in that matchup? What did you see from how he played him, and will that be effective going forward, or is this just one of those games where, you know, Devin Booker's just not going to shoot well?
Yeah, it's tough to say exactly what Jrue did to him, other than just give him a completely different look than he was used to seeing, I think. You know, Jrue is a really rangy, long, strong, athletic defensive guard. You know, he's 6'4", super long arms, really fast twitch. And so he's able to get a little closer to Book, and able to take some space away from Book that Book likes to play with. most greats like to play in space. I mean, Book's equally as good without it, but he changed the look up. And I think that and being on the road just caught D Book off guard, and he just didn't perform well last night. I think guys that are as talented as Devin Booker, you won't see him struggle like that in the next game. I'm not promising you he's going to get 50, Logan, but he's not going to struggle like that. They'll figure out. Like, they go back, he's going to see what Drew was doing to him. He's going to figure out the counters to it. Monty will figure out, you know, what he can do to help get him going a little bit, and he'll play better. But, you know, I'm just going to keep it a buck. Like, if he's not going to play well, and he's not going to be in the 20 to 25 and upwards range, like, they're going to have a hard time beating the Bucks.
Is it one of those things? Because, like, Book is that anomaly where, you know, I've seen this with Book. I've seen this with LeBron. When their first playoffs, they were just locked in and playing like they had been going there for years, and they kind of knew every situation and was playing really well. Are we overlooking the fact that this is Book's first ever postseason in NBA Finals? Does that have anything to do with it, you think?
Yeah, but I mean, we're overlooking it because he's been, you know, like really, really, really good.
40-point triple doubles, yes.
Yes. But, you know, we were slammed for it, and I was slammed for saying that I thought the Suns were, you know, in the conversation of true contenders this year, were pretenders. And the reason I said was because, you know, the DeAndre Aytons, the Mikal Bridges, the Cam Johnsons, even the D Books haven't been in this situation before. And how do they respond to the situation when things don't go well is going to ultimately determine, you know, whether they can win a championship or not. D Book has been great. And in the nights when he hasn't been great, Chris Paul has stepped up and been fantastic. And so they've been able to, you know, kind of ham and egg it like that. They've got a great 1-2 punch. But the reality is he hasn't been in this situation before, Logan. And that's fair. And it's okay. So he's just got to figure it out. I imagine he will. But yeah, we've kind of forgot that this is his first time around the block because his highs have been so high. But he's still learned. This is all new for him.
Yeah. And I do get that. And I do sense that he will be better. Honestly, though, I think that the series still falls on Aiden. You know, I still believe that. And I, you know, they can, if they take care of business, and even if Book goes off, they still have a problem there if Aiden is in foul trouble, because they're just going to keep getting points in the paint. And that goes to before we get out of here, is just, what did you see from Giannis in this game that you maybe didn't see? Because that you didn't see in others, because in this game for me, he shot 2 3-pointers. And for me, if I'm coaching him, and you know, I've never played in the league, and just want to put that disclaimer out there so Raja can veto anything that I say is very stupid. But for what I would like to see is what he did today. He only shot 2 3-pointers, and he was in the cup to the cup all the time. Is that the game that you need to see from him every single time you watch
Absolutely.
Him play?
Absolutely. That's where his bread is buttered. That's who he is. Trying to be something other than that is silly. Like, you grow into something other than that in the offseason. Don't mess around with it right now, dog. Do what you do. And so, yes, I thought, first of all, when DeAndre Ayton is out, you're going to get pummeled, not just at the cup in terms of scoring, but on the offensive glass. And they got pummeled last night. I mean, they're generally the Bucks, a better offensive rebounding team, but like last night it was like 13-6 or something like that. Like, you were getting beat up. The Bucks also, Logan, what I saw out of Giannis, did you see the play where Giannis caught it? It got stripped from him. It looked like the Suns had it. It was under his own basket. He took that shit back and then like piped it.
Yes.
There was a level of intensity about the Bucks that you had seen from the Suns, scrapping, clawing, scratching, biting, whatever you need to do to get that. And I thought Giannis set the tone for the Bucks, him and Bobby Portis last night. Like, so there was an energy about him. Giannis offensively in a nutshell last night, I don't have a problem with the 2 3s. Like, you know, every now and again, you might have to do that. But he didn't wait. When he caught the ball, he went right to work. Like, he went right to work. Sounded weird when it came out, but he went right to work. Like, even if it was in a face up on Jay Crowder, it was a quick rip over the top, get to that baseline, and then see what I could get done. There was very little waiting. And if he didn't face up, he was going straight into his crab dribble. Like, as soon as he let his man space, he'd start pounding, going right to work. I didn't see as much settling for the fadeaway, Like, he shot one and I was pissed. But then he went right back to crab dribble, jump hooking, trying to get to the rim. Like, it looked like there was an effort to just be on top of the rim. And that's the way they got to play.
You know what it was like? It was like the Lakers offense back in the day. And I'm only saying this because you can relate. Is when they said, fuck the triangle, fuck the offense. We're just going to throw it to Shaq. Our offense is going to throw it to Shaq. You guys know we're going to throw it to Shaq. I don't care if you have Mutombo on him. He's going to dunk it every time. Like, when you see a guy with that much talent and everything like that, and there's just going to be games where they're just going to throw it into him and he's going to dunk the ball. And I saw that, like, he was racing down the floor and he was doing the Randy. You remember when Randy Moss, before, like, he would pass the guy, he would just put his hand up.
He just put his hand up. Yeah.
Giannis was doing that and he was catching the ball, dunking. Oh, Chris Paul's on me. I don't care. I'm just throw it up. Like, Chris Paul's on me, cool. Aiden's on me, cool. Throw it as high as you can throw it. I'm going to catch it every time and I'm going to dunk it. That was their transition offense. That's something that I would like to see a lot more.
Absolutely. He puts so much pressure on your defense regardless of where he is. It just so happens they run a lot of offense with him on the ball. I loved last night him running the pick and rolls with Chris Middleton. Early ones in transition, like early, like I didn't get it on that run you're talking about. Let me peel back, come up, set that high ball screen, and then roll hard to the rim, right? Like, you're going to have four people sucking in trying to take his role away, right? Like, Chris got to make a play now, and he made plays. I liked when he got the switch, you know, even against the zone. Like, they were sitting in zone at times, and Giannis realized the middle of that zone was small. He just duck in from the other block and just big seal you in the middle. There are four sets of eyes that have to honor that. Right? The other thing about Giannis having the ball and attacking quick, as those heads turn, and they will, because you've been told in your pregame and your whole lead up to this, we're building this wall. When Giannis gets it, we're building this wall. Well, as all those sets of eyes turn and offensive players on the Bucks see the back of their defenders' heads, it opens up cuts behind that defense, right? Opens up that slip cut that you see Giannis drop into people over and over again. Bobby Portis got one last night. PJ gets one every now and again. Patty Connaughton will get one. Also the three-point shooting, right? Because all eyes are locked in. But you can't hold it. You got to get into that action quick. And then Giannis has to be quick and decisive. And he was that last night.
Mm. All right. What's the biggest adjustment? What's the biggest adjustment for the Bucks going into game four?
I said it before, and you made me, you know, I was with the Suns, and I said that if you made me look at it from the Bucks' perspective, I would tell you that I'd feel pretty good about where we were. Remember? I think the Bucks have a good, solid game plan right now. I would continue off of making sure I have high hands on Chris as he gets into that mid-range area, right? And if there was one adjustment, Logan, I would try to keep him on my drop coverage against Chris. I'd be a little bit higher with my big. It's a big difference for him shooting that sidestep three, shooting that sidestep 16-footer, you know? So,
He was hitting some incredible shots last night, Chris. Well,
incredible. But guess what? As a defender, you know what you say to that shit?
Good job. I'm warming back, yeah.
Keep hitting them. You got to hit them all night.
Biggest adjustment for the Suns. Also, you guys travel really well, by the way. I saw a lot of Suns fans last night. You guys travel well.
Yeah, you know how we do.
You might have been there, too. I might have seen you. I'm not sure.
Nah, you
might have
been there. I wasn't in Milwaukee. No disrespect, but I'm down in South Florida. I ain't going to Milwaukee right now. Biggest adjustment for the Suns. I mean, obviously, figuring out how to get D-Book working offensively is going to be huge. I don't really have a great strategy for you in regards to that, Logan. Like, they just have to figure out offensively how to get him rolling. And then you're going to have to figure out what lineup you can play that isn't going to just get you pummeled in the paint. So DeAndre Ayton's got to stay out of foul trouble. And Monty's going to have to figure out if it's Torrey Craig, whoever it is. I mean, these aren't great answers. I didn't break down the film like that. But they're going to have to figure out how to get D-Book going. Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like to you, Monty. And then you're going to have to figure out what lineup when DeAndre Ayton, is out of the game. Hopefully he's not out of the game. But when he's out of the game, you know, can you roll somebody out there that's a little more physical?
I'm going to go first. I got the Bucks winning game four. Who do you have winning game four?
Yeah, I got the Bucks winning game four, brother. I think you strap in, man. You're in for a series. Yeah. I still think the Suns can win it. But like I said, I mean, you know, get down 6-7 games, anything can happen. But I think the Bucks win game 4.
Word. That has been another edition of the Real Ones podcast. We see you every Monday and Thursday. Make sure you check out all the other slate. Make sure you check out Ringer NBA on all social platforms. Make sure you check out The Mismatch. Make sure you check out Group Chat. Make sure you check out The Answer. Make sure you check out Black Girl Songbook with who, Roger Bell?
Town legend, Danielle Smith.
I'm going to need you to get this next one right.
Oh, I got this.
Also, check out R2C2 with who, Roger Bell?
That would be Vallejo Legend. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. Crestside Clown, CC Sabathia.
Shout out to the Hillside. Shout out to Crest. Shout out to all the people in the V. We will see you guys on Thursday. Holla.